At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester with you. Thanks for being a part of the show today, whether you're listening to us on KFH, whether you're watching us on the video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, or listening to us on the Odyssey app. We appreciate it. Great deal. Thank you. Max is here. Max is watching hockey. Just trying to, you know, load it in. You think this is the year Canada breaks the streak, Max? Edmonton, you think we'll get through there. They're gonna be able to.
Edmonton will beat Florida. It'll probably take them 7 games, but. Connor McDavid, represented by Robert Gordon Orr, will not be denied.
Represents that his agent?
Yes, Bobby Orr bought Bob Wolf's thing so he wouldn't let players get ripped off like he was.
Okay. Way over our heads here, Max. But Max has got an eye on hockey. We're watching the NBA playoffs here. We've got Terry Bradshaw weighing in on Aaron Rodgers, which we can get into in the next segment.
I love that. I love that story. I can't wait to talk about that.
A little bit of fun there. That's you can imagine what Terry Bradshaw thinks of all this. We hit on the Royals. We may do a little bit more of that as we make our way through. It's kind of that time. We want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of this program. As I went out and crammed in a quick 18 yesterday, Tommy.
Wow.
Weather was perfect. Got it done in about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And it was cart path only, I'm assuming, right? And you were able to play in 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah. Shot a 94.
All right.
Best round of my year. And I bring all that up only to say I made it to 17. So I bring all that up to bring up the Wichita Open. So the Crestview, if you haven't been out there, if you haven't seen it, and you're going to head out there for the Wichita Open, is doing it a little bit different there on 17. So you know how people probably that listen to this show are going to know what we're talking about when we talk about the Open, the massive towering grandstands of 17. That's not going to be that way this year. They spread them out, and so they're shorter. And they run sort of down the sides of the fairway. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's not going to be as hot as the tall towers get. I think you'll have a much, 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 much better view of the playing of the hole. And I don't know how the party aspect of that will look, but you know it will be good. I assume there'll be just, you know, more drink stations or whatever they're going to do to spread that out. But it's going to be really, really cool. It looks awesome back there. I think that's going to be something that people really enjoy this year.
How'd you do on 17?
I think I bogeyed. Okay. I think I bogeyed. I was on the fringe. I didn't get, I mean, I would have, yeah, I was fringe on my tee shot. And then, but on the other side of the green. So a long way to go.
One of my favorite things to do is when the grandstands are up, and it's going to be different now that it's not super tall. But one of my favorite things to do is when the grandstands are up and I'm playing the course, to use the grandstands as, like, you know, a backboard, you know, yeah, and ricochet it off the grandstand onto the green. Cause you get a free drop if you end up, like, going into the grandstands or under the grandstands, whatever. I do appreciate that.
We played the whites. I should say that we played the whites. Now, that was it. I have not done that this year. Guy I played with, who you know well, gave you a hard time about this, but we played the whites. It does change that course for me.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, like, if you're a lot of times, I think people should play a tee closer than what they actually do.
Yeah.
Depending on your level of skill.
I just have always played the blues for no reason whatsoever. No idea why. Just have. And it definitely changes the course. What's interesting for me is you guys give me a hard time, rightfully so, about my driver. I have like a 15 or 20 year old driver. But it plays really well to Crestview North, like, because you need a lot of tee shots to go about 235, which is about what I hit that driver. So now when I was up to the whites, I was like, okay, hang on a minute. Like, I might actually be in trouble with my drive here. So that was it. That was an interesting change for sure. But the course is in great shape, even after it was a little spongy yesterday. But thanks to Crestview. Can't wait to get out there for the Wichita Open. Can't wait for everybody to come see us out there, the Wichita Open. Say hi. We'll be out there broadcasting live Thursday and Friday. So that should be a lot of fun.
We're going to give away some chances to play golf out at Crestview in the month of June. So we've got that coming up. That'll be fun. Their member guest tournament starts tomorrow, which is always like the big spectacle of the year for members. Yeah. So they've got that going on this weekend. So it's a busy time for the folks over there at Crestview.
Yeah, that's not something I'm quite ready for. I have a hard time, as do you and anybody with young kids, with like the, I'm going to go play a round and I might take like three and a half hours. The member guest is, that's a big,
it's a big commitment. You've got 3 days in a row and you're probably talking 6 hour rounds when you've got everybody out there and the drinks are flowing and they've got a bunch of, you know, fun activities and different things like that. It's a spectacle. It's a lot of fun. It's been a few years since I've done it. As soon as I had kids, I kind of retired from the member guest, but it's a big deal out there.
Let's get people. I didn't know we were able to talk about the giveaway yet. We're not doing this today, but just to prime people up to kind of stay tuned, would be next week when we're starting this. So what are we able? We've been talking about this for a while, and I know Tommy's been working behind the scenes on these details. But what are we doing in June for the listeners?
Yeah. So I mean, we talk about Crestview every day here on this show, and we have for quite some time. And we figured, hey, it'd be a good idea to try to get, you know, some listeners to be able to go and play the course. And so starting next week, we're going to give away a round of golf for two every single week here on this show. So what are there, 4 weeks in the month of June? So we'll give away four different rounds for two out at Crestview. So we'll do that starting next week.
That'll be really, really cool. We're looking forward to giving everybody a chance to get out there and check that out. So make sure next week you're on guard there to get that. Also, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here, reminding us that it's a Wednesday and not a, I don't even know what day I thought it was, but it is a Wednesday. Thanks, Prairie Fire. Get us on our toes. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday if you're just joining us for this second hour. So, you know, maybe you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, getting ready to go to work. Just throw on that Hawaiian and you know, it'll make your day just a little bit brighter, just a little bit brighter. All right. So coming up, we're going to hit on this this Aaron Rodgers, Terry Bradshaw. Like, every day that this goes on, it's just like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? I don't know.
Are you surprised by it? Because I'm not surprised by it at all.
No, I'm not surprised that Bradshaw feels that
way. No, I'm not surprised that it's been a circus, because it always is. It absolutely always is. With Aaron Rodgers. Nobody should be surprised by that.
I just can't believe the Steelers are putting up with this. I really can't. That organization, like, it just doesn't seem, it seems like something the Jets would do, right? But not what the Steelers would do. And I'm just surprised by that. Kirby Smart sounding off about the transfer portal. we might get into that and digging into why it's so difficult to come up with something to fix it, really. Like, to fix it if you think it needs fixing, and I think everybody thinks it needs fixing, to the level of fixing is probably where people disagree to some degree. But man, like, what, like, this Wild West just doesn't seem like it needs to be there. So we'll get into some of what is going on there. These meetings that are happening keep generating headlines. We talked about the CFP throughout the week and a little bit last week, but now this transfer portal conversation is getting to the forefront. And when Kirby Smart's the one leading the conversation, probably everyone's going to listen. You know, that's just the way it is. And I don't know what the solution, that one to me is the most challenging and the hardest one to solve. We'll talk about why that is later in this hour as well. We can get back into the Royals a little bit this hour. Your calls, your commentary, all welcome. Let's give away some HTO on the way out here. We'll get some sunshine. We're going to get some iced tea weather by the end of the week here. So, you know, get in there, check it out. 26 flavors to choose from. You can get a free one on us right now. All you got to do is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from. These are good for East Wichita, West Wichita, and Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. As we continue on here on a Wednesday, a reminder, quick reminder, the Pacers win last night. So you're looking like a Pacers Thunder NBA Finals could be forthcoming. We'll see Oklahoma City tonight try and, I believe, wrap that up.
They got game four. It was it's a 3-1 lead for the Thunder.
It is a 7:30 start time here for game five. They have the 3-1 lead, so they'll be going into game five. A little bit later, but the Thunder are 8.5-point favorites. We'll see if they can get it wrapped up, or maybe Anthony Edwards can flex and show why he's considered one of, if not the best players in the world. I just don't think they're going to have enough, certainly to win three games, but we'll see if the Thunder can get that wrapped up as the Pacers win last night.
I'm not going to be shocked if the T-Wolves do get the win tonight. I think that would be on the table.
They got to do it in Oklahoma City, though.
I think that might be on the table. They're not going to win the series, but, you know, at least to push it to a game six. I wouldn't be overly shocked if the T-Wolves can at least steal one in OKC.
Thunder, Pacers. I'm still waiting to see what that ticket would have paid. Thunder, Pacers, NBA Finals. But that's coming too. All right, when we return, latest on Aaron Rodgers. What does Terry Bradshaw think? We'll get into the transfer portal latest. That's all coming in this hour of Sports Daily. Stick around.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Another segment of Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. All right, Terry Bradshaw, Tommy, is fired up about this Aaron Rodgers situation. The quotes are entertaining, to say the least. He's fed up like the rest of us. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, basically, he just went in during this radio interview about calling it a joke and all of that.
That's a joke. To me, this is just a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in here for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
That's amazing.
He's not having it.
That is amazing.
He's not having it. Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler represents the feelings of probably 90% of America on this. Look, when this all started, I thought, man, Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh makes a ton of sense, right? I felt like you can make a case that he's an upgrade over Russell Wilson. There's just a lot there, right? Aaron Rodgers was not great last year in New York, but he was okay, but probably an upgrade for them. And then here we are on May 28th. The draft has come and gone. They've done nothing else at the position. It's amazing that this organization, I guess maybe it's not amazing because you have an organization that is so good at everything except for some reason, doing anything at quarterback. They tried with Kenny Pickett. Bradshaw talked about that. He was mad. He said they didn't give him enough of a chance. They never tried to fix the offensive line. He's correct about that. They've had a brutal offensive line going back to Ben Roethlisberger when he would just get shelled back there as a statue late in his career. It's like they don't put an emphasis on the most important position in sports.
I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, it's surprising to me that the front office and that Mike Tomlin is tolerating this, you know, like they're tolerating just this waiting game, right?
What choice do they have?
Well, I mean, they could go and find another solution. And I don't think it's Mason Rudolph. You know, I don't think that it's the guys that they have in house. No offense to Will Howard. I don't think Will Howard is going to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, this coming season. I would be shocked if that happened.
They don't have Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, but there are a couple of other options. They could go trade for Kirk Cousins if they wanted to. I mean, like, there are some other things out there that they could do. Or I guess at the end of the day, they could ride along with Mason Rudolph. The problem is with the Steelers, and I'm sure this is where Terry Bradshaw is coming from. They have allowed themselves to get into this predicament. This was easily avoided if you are Mike Tomlin in the front office with the Steelers. You're more aggressive this offseason in finding a new quarterback, whether that's through free agency, whether that's through the draft. They didn't do hardly any of that. Yes, they did draft Will Howard, but they didn't use a pick early on a quarterback that they felt like could come in right away. Even the Saints did that, not even knowing if Derek Carr was going to be back or not. They at least drafted Tyler Shook in the second round, and who knows if he's going to do anything or not, but they at least had a contingency plan at quarterback. Really, all the Steelers have done, they've just sat back, sitting on their hands, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to dictate the quarterback situation for that organization. That's the problem. That's the failure, is that they were not able to take matters in their own hands. They are now at the mercy of a guy who loves this. He loves the attention. He loves being courted and, you know, having everybody fawn over him and what's he going to do and where's he going to go and when's he going to make his decision. He thrives on that. And that's a failing of the Steelers organization for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, it's not that surprising that they don't have a clear answer at quarterback. They haven't for a long time. What's surprising is they're letting this guy do that to that organization. That's it. Again, I said this, that's a Jets thing to do. Like, what are you doing? This isn't what the Steelers do. The blue collar Steelers. Like, what are we doing here? And Aaron Rodgers could still be good. But like, the reality is, like, he's not going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl. And he's not going to play probably more than a season. And I think that's Terry Bradshaw's point as much as anything. Like, he's only going to be there for a year. Like what are you doing here? I'll tell you this. I think Will Howard will be more impactful than Shook. Will Howard is a decent flyer. I've always thought he kind of looked like an NFL quarterback in the right situation. I don't know that the Steelers are the right situation, but they did just trade for DK Metcalf. And, you know, I don't know what their line is looking like now. I know they've made a little bit of progress there the last couple of years, but Will Howard's not a bad flyer. It's just that's a team that is in the playoffs every year. That can't be your only answer, because if you loved Will Howard that much, you wouldn't have waited until the sixth round to take him. And to be fair to Howard, like, it's a perfect situation for him because he's very likely going to get a chance to play this year there. And I do think he has a chance to be a guy in the NFL, but that's not your plan though. When you're the Steelers, you let Fields go, you let Wilson go. You haven't done anything with Rodgers yet. What is so bad about giving Rodgers an ultimatum and saying, yo, we better have your decision before the NFL draft? If we don't have it, you can go fly a kite.
Yeah. They needed to do that well before the NFL draft. Like, they needed to do that when free agency started. They needed to say, look, we want you, we would like you to be our quarterback, but you have until the NFL draft, or you have until this date to make your decision. And if not, we're going to go in a different direction. And they, to my knowledge, didn't ever do that. And so now you're in this predicament where it's a month past the draft and they didn't really do, they drafted Will Howard, but it wasn't like they really invested in anybody else at quarterback. And now you've got Mason Rudolph, who's been a career backup. You've got Skylar Thompson, who's been a career backup. And now you've got Will Howard, who's an unproven rookie. That's your quarterback room. And they have let now this circus of Aaron Rodgers dominate the headlines. And now you've got the most famous and most successful quarterback in the franchise's history, who has never shied away from saying what he feels, being openly critical, not about Aaron Rodgers necessarily. He was a little bit, but more about the way the organization has handled the Aaron Rodgers situation. And he's spot on. I totally agree with Terry Bradshaw. Why in the world are the Steelers tolerating this? If I'm the front office, if I'm their GM, if I'm Mike Tomlin even, I'm picking up the phone and I'm saying, we're done. Like, go find another team. We're done. We're not doing this. We would rather go and lose 13 or 14 games next year with the three guys we have in our quarterback room than let you jack us around for another couple of months before you finally make your decision, whatever it is.
There's no way that this ends other than this will be Tomlin's last year. It's going to be a disaster. It's not going to work. They're going to butt heads, and Tomlin will go have his Andy Reid moment and go be a great coach at his next stop and for the next chapter. It's just right there. Like, it's so obvious. Like, what is the best case scenario now for bringing in Rodgers at this point? He clearly doesn't want to be there that bad. You know, like, right. Your best case scenario is like, all right, fine, I'll play another year of football. This 42-year-old guy, like, you're begging him to come play. Like, what is the best case scenario for the Steelers?
And I know a lot of Steelers fans. I can't imagine any of the Steelers fan base is a fan of this, right? Like, I would imagine even before the guy potentially signs with the team, you've probably got the vast majority of the fan base already turned against you. Like, that's not the way that you want to go into a new location. At least when he went to the Jets, that, and there was drama and a circus surrounding that, but at least the fan base initially was really excited about it. Like, it was, hey, we've got Rodgers coming in now, and he wants to be here. We're going to build an offense around him. Of course, we all know what happened, and he only played four snaps before he went down for the entire year. But at the time, the fan base wanted him, and he wanted to be there. And it was like, it seemed like on paper, this really, really positive union.
And I still think it could have been.
This is completely different because of, and if I was a Steelers fan, I would absolutely think this guy keeps yanking our chain and playing with us. And I, you know what? Screw him. I don't want him. I don't want him on my team. If this is the way it's going to be, go somewhere else, go retire, go do whatever it is you need to do, but you're not coming to Pittsburgh. And I would imagine a majority of the fan base probably feels that way at this point.
I don't know. There's got to be some desperation too, though, because that's why this is even happening. Like, this is a team that makes the playoffs every year. I mean, they've been a quarterback away from doing something in the postseason for how long now? Like, they're always in the mix. They just have nothing at quarterback. So I think there's probably desperation, not just among the front office, but probably among fans, because what's the alternative now? And this is why Aaron Rodgers has him by the you know what. Like, what's the alternative? And that's why the Steelers are putting up with this, because they don't have a backup plan. This has been their plan, it feels like, the entire offseason, which is so foolish, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Just run Russell Wilson out there again next year versus this, right? Like, what if we knew how this was going to play out, and it would be May 28th, and you still don't have a decision from Aaron Rodgers, and you're the Steelers, wouldn't you rather just have Russell Wilson?
100%. 100%.
And I'm not blaming him for the beginning, because I do think Aaron Rodgers, even if he's what he was last year, gives them a better chance than both of those guys. But you have to have that conversation right at the beginning. Hey, we want you here. We are even going to let these other guys go because we think you can make us a better team. But that conversation has to be had a long time ago with a very clear, not waiting around. You can either sign now or you can go fly a kite, go do something else. And Rodgers, yeah, like what is Rodgers going to do? He's 42 years old. He's got all the money in the world. He's going to just hang and chill and do what he like.
But don't you think that,
like,
I mean,
we haven't seen this story before.
The thing about it is, don't you think he loves this?
Yeah, he probably likes the attention.
He loves the attention. He loves the pursuit. He loves the, you know, will you or won't you? He loves the fact that he's dominating the conversations in a really slow time in the NFL right now. All the headlines are about him. He absolutely eats that up. So why in the world would he want to make a decision right now? He's the top story on all of the debate shows. We're talking about him right now. Every sports talk radio show in America is talking about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Helps, right?
Absolutely. Like, he is, for all the criticisms I have of him, and there are many of them, he's a smart guy. He knows exactly what he's doing. And this is very well calculated. Everything, you know, he goes on Pat McAfee, and then, you know, he's at a festival and he's doing a Q&A, and somebody asks him about playing for the Saints, and he shuts that down. And then somebody else asks him about if he's going to play for Pittsburgh. And his answer is, we'll see what happens. Like, he loves this. He absolutely eats this up. And so, honestly, as critical as I am about Aaron Rodgers, I don't fault him for eating this up. Like, and because he knows what he's doing, he's calculated. It's more critical of the Steelers that they are tolerating this.
He certainly thinks he is the smartest person, whether he is or not. Maybe he could be, but yeah, I don't. It just like other. Yeah, I could see this. The Jets. This has Jets written all over it. Like, there are franchises where, like, oh yeah, that I could see that train wreck coming. But the Steelers.
Yeah.
What?
Like, I can see the Jets. I can see the Raiders being a team like that. The Giants. Like, yeah, there are those teams. I mean, even to an extent, the Cowboys a little bit. Like, there are some organizations where there's some tomfoolery going on. And, you know, you can kind of look at the organization and be like, yep, I understand why that's going on. The Steelers are not one of them. That's why it's been so surprising that they've been allowing this to happen.
Well, not normally they're not, right? Like, it doesn't, this isn't just, it's not their MO. That's what's been. And that's why maybe it's good that Terry Bradshaw comes out and is like, this is nonsense, because it just is. Like, that is as gold standard an NFL franchise as there is. They're always good. They're consistent. They're loyal. They're all of these things. And they're going to jump into the 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes and let him string them along? Again, it's not like we haven't seen this before. We've literally seen it every year since he left Green Bay, basically. Like, this is the same thing. So maybe they've known this all along. Maybe there have been behind-the-scenes conversations where he's like, you know what? I don't want to do any of this offseason stuff. I'm 42 years old. I'll sign with you guys later, because I just, like, maybe there have been clear conversations and the Steelers just can't really talk about it. I suppose that's a possibility. It's about the only possibility, though, that makes sense, as they are having very honest conversations. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to do any of that, because we know he doesn't want to do any of that. He's 40. I wouldn't either if I were him, by the way. Like, I get that part of it. But can you not just sign him and say he's hurt? Or something, like, you sign him and say he's got a sore hamstring, so we're going to rest him a little bit. Like, I just feels like he's about to pull the rug out from underneath him and be like, nah, I'm going to retire. And, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing for the Steelers. I would like to see Will Howard end up starting some games there. Look, their quarterbacks on the roster right now. We have a lot of local flair here. Skylar Thompson, Will Howard, and Mason Rudolph. K-State, Oklahoma State. So that's kind of interesting. Skylar Thompson, I mean, honestly, like, at this point, would you rather have Mason Rudolph or Skylar Thompson start a game for you? Both those guys have had pretty similar openings. I do think, as it stands, though, Will Howard is the most interesting of those players. When Will Howard had that great season at K-State, I was like, he looks like a pro, and he did pro-type things at Ohio State. He's a pretty interesting late round flyer quarterback. He's at least as interesting as Shedeur Sanders, don't you think? Like, Shadur's got a much more difficult path as a fifth round pick to get starting reps than Will Howard will as a sixth round pick. And I'm not even sure which one's in a better situation.
Yeah, but both quarterbacks are in pretty wide open quarterback rooms going into this season.
Right. That's what I mean. As two late round guys who are going to have opportunities, I think Howard's opportunity is even better, because Shedeur has some other decent players there. He's like decent NFL level starters we've seen that he's got to compete with, and all the other stuff he's set up for himself.
Yeah,
Howard's just kind of there.
I don't think it's the wrong thing at all for the Steelers to do, to see what they've got in Will Howard. I mean, especially if they don't end up going with Aaron Rodgers, or Rodgers doesn't go with them. I would definitely give Will Howard some reps and see if he can get it done. I think the likeliest possibility is that Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback for the Steelers if Aaron Rodgers does not end up there. You know, they signed him in free agency. It's not a ton of money, but there's enough of an investment there with Rudolph that I think that they would like to see him be the QB1 as the backup plan if Rodgers does not end up with the organization. But I don't think it's the wrong thing at all to do, to see what Will Howard can give you, whether that's in training camp, in preseason games, whatever that looks like. I think it's probably those two guys. I'm not sure that they're going to fly at all with Skylar Thompson as far as giving him an opportunity to be the starting quarterback. I think it will probably end up being Rudolph or Howard if Rodgers is not part of the team.
Yeah, Rudolph has the familiarity for sure. I agree with that. I think I might like Skylar Thompson better than Mason Rudolph, but you're probably right. Will Howard, if they don't sign Rodgers, how about some bold predictions on May 28th, just because we can. If the Steelers don't sign Aaron Rodgers, Will Howard will be starting games for the Steelers by week 6. Week six.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold prediction right there. I'm not sure that I'm...
May 28th.
I'm not gonna roll with that at this point.
Got your Hawaiian on today. Let's get wild with it.
Again, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to see what they have in Will Howard. I'm just not sure he's gonna end up being the starting quarterback in week six.
Well, I make that prediction. It's not like, to me, it's not even that bold. It's because I feel like Mason Rudolph will come out of the gates and struggle a little bit, like he does. Let's talk college football here. Kirby Smart is the top dog right now in college football. I think that's fair to say. And according to him, the most important issue right now in college football is the transfer portal window and how many there are. I think more specifically, here's what he said. The coaches are all meeting right now. The biggest decision that needs to be made in college football right now by far is when is the portal window and is it one or two? That's not being decided by us today. A lot of people don't even know how it's being decided and who is deciding it. So, yeah, I think if you asked any coach in America what their number one issue right now is, it's the portal and the chaos of the portal. That shouldn't surprise us. I don't know who's going to decide that. I don't know in what order it will be decided with all the other thousands of things that seem to be needing decisions at this point, but it is one. And I don't think what he's saying is even too much to ask, Tommy. And to me, it's surprising. Like, why is it not regulated? Not in the sense that you can't transfer, because that's never going to hold up legally. Like, that part of it, you can just, like, there's no chance they'll get taken to court, whatever. But I don't think it's like, why is it so difficult to say, all right, here's the window. You can't transfer outside of this window unless your coach leaves or whatever, the extenuating circumstances. And if teams tamper, the penalties will be so severe that they won't tamper. And Kirby Smart went on to say, like, what do you think's going to happen if we put this thing in April? What do you think's going to happen in January, February, March? So I think for him, reading between the lines, he would like an early window, right? Somewhere very close to the end of the season, and that to just be the window and be done. That's it, right? It shouldn't be before the championship game is played. If you want to stop the tampering, I would still think that there are the mechanisms in place to punish teams, not players, but punish teams that tamper, right? Like, if you're a coach and you're in contact with a player for another team outside of the transfer portal window, you're done for the year. You can't coach that year, right? Like, if you really want to put an end to it, put an end to it. Kick them out of football. They'll stop if you make the penalty so severe that they won't do it, right? So I think some of this, like, it doesn't seem like it should be that complicated.
Every professional sport has a free agency window, right? And it happens pretty much when the season is done, and then the window closes before you start the season again. Like, that just happens in every professional sport. The NFL has their free agency period happen after the Super Bowl, and teams are not allowed to contact free agents until the new league year starts, and then you can actually have official deals that are signed and all of that. It's a very common and standard thing on the professional side. I don't know why there's been such a hesitation to do something like this in the world of college athletics. And I know that one of the arguments for a long time has been, well, we're talking about academics too. And, you know, these players are being, you know, not being able to get to their new schools in time to start the semester and all of that, which I think is bogus. You can totally find ways to make that work. So why not open a window the week after the national championship game is played, in the middle of January, and have it run until, I don't know, the beginning of February or the middle of February? Have a month of the transfer portal open. It's the free agency window, basically, for college football. And then you're just done. And you know what your roster is going to look like in the spring, in time for the spring games that these teams do and all of that. And then you don't have to worry about players leaving programs before the national championship game is coached and played and all of that. I just don't understand what the hesitation is on this.
Well, and if kids need to finish their classes in the semester, finish your classes and maybe you miss the spring. Maybe that's a part of the decision process, right? Like, if you can't afford to withdraw and move and take that semester off for whatever reason, right? Just finish your semester and then go. But I agree. Like, A, it cannot happen before the season is done. That is a problem for college basketball. Watching Will Wade coach a team while he's going to be the coach somewhere else the next day. Like, that's weird. You can't do that stuff. You can't do it with players. Make it after the season. I don't even know how long. You can make it longer, right? Make it January and February. Make it 2 months. You get 2 months of this, January and February, and that's it. Like, no more. No more movement unless a coach leaves. Whatever the rules are, right, that allow. Because you're not saying players have to sit out a year. You're not changing the spirit of a transfer. You're just changing the rules in which it's regulated. And I don't think there's any legal disputes there, right? There are extenuating circumstances. Those can clearly be laid out. But you do it over a period of time that's determined, and you make the tampering penalty so harsh that people won't do it, right? Like, that goes back for as long as time. How do you keep somebody? Why do we even have laws? Well, you make the punishment so severe, people don't want to break them, right? Like, that's how that works, right? So if you tamper, if you're an assistant coach and you tamper, that trickles up. At least, at minimum, you're done. You're forfeiting games. Like, what is the harshest penalty you can come up with? If you really don't want them to do it, then make the penalty so harsh they can't do it or they won't do it, and solve this stuff. So this story gets interesting. Brandon Marcello reporting here that one of the reasons they can't get clarity on this is because there's still a bigger picture power struggle right now with who gets to set the rules. And I think the SEC and the Big Ten still want more power, more weighted power in decision-making to come up with this stuff. And because of that power struggle, we can't get decisions on other stuff. That goes above my head, honestly. I don't understand, though, why there wouldn't be a 100% vote on a single portal window with harsher tampering penalties. Because I haven't talked to any coaches that don't hate both of those things. And it's one of those things, too. I think it gets to the point where if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Because everybody's doing it, you at least have to get to the point where not everybody's doing it, right? I don't know why there isn't. Why is there not a 100% yes vote on that? Who likes two transfer portal windows? There's not a coach in the country that wants that.
Yeah, I think that's the big question, is who can make that decision and who's going to be able to, you know, make that happen all across the college athletic landscape. It's probably going to have to fall into the laps of the Congress, you know, as they're working on trying to figure out how to reform college athletics in general. It's probably going to have to fall to them, because what governing body has shown itself to be capable in being able to actually institute this?
Yeah, and I don't think the government, this isn't their purview, though. Like, because
has the NCAA shown the capability of being able to govern this?
I don't think it's going to be, it's not going to be the NCAA, I don't think.
So it can't be each individual conference, because each individual conference can make their own rules regarding the transfer portal.
They have to be able to get together as the power conferences. That's the division of power, though, that I think is holding things up. I mean, at the end of the day, the NCAA is appointed by these guys anyway. Like, these sorts of rules, they would be enforced by the NCAA, I think, but not created by the NCAA. Somebody needs to create the rule here. And I don't care if it's the SEC. I don't care if it's the Big Ten. I don't care if it's the Big 12. I don't care if it's the ACC. Just come up with a rule and everybody vote on it. Here's the transfer portal window. We're going to make it January 1st to February 28th. All in favor, say aye, right? And everybody can just say, yeah, that sounds fine. We're not going to do one in April, because that's where you get all the tampering crap. And again, this is just football. It's different than basketball. But this is our window. Here's when you can transfer. We're not going to say you can't transfer. You can transfer. That's where you get into some legal challenges. But if you do it, it has to be in this window, except for these set of circumstances that would allow you to do it as a player specifically, because whatever, you're hurt, your coach left, whatever. Otherwise, you got to go then, and you can't go another time. If you do, you have to sit out a year. Those are the rules that you could probably enforce without having to go, because they're self-created rules, and they're not, I don't know that there'd be like antitrust issues there. You're not telling these kids they can't transfer. You're not telling these kids they can't earn. You're just saying you can only do it in this amount of time. And I think that'd be fine. I don't even know. Like, I'd be curious to know what the players think of that too, by the way. Like, we never get players' thoughts. There's not like a union, so it's hard to get a, but do players like this? I know their agents and their representatives like this because they can use it as leverage. But do the players really like this? Do they like not knowing? I don't know that I would if I were a player.
I mean, I'm sure that the players wouldn't mind continuing with the two windows, you know, because they're young and maybe they don't know what they want to do in December. but they might know what they want to do in April. And
the window
getting
can't
them,
be December. That's so stupid.
I'm just telling you, like, that may be not pushback, because I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, the players are given options. They've got options on when they want to enter the portal. So if they don't enter it in December, then they get another chance later on in the spring. So right now, the current system benefits the players. Going to one window, that doesn't benefit them, but that doesn't mean that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard. This stuff is all so hard. How long do you think this is going to take? Like, when do we look at this and say, all right, this is the system in which we play college athletics, college football more specifically?
Man, I don't know. Are we ever going to get to that point where everything is totally settled?
I think we are. Yeah. Because eventually the legal stuff is going to play out and players are going to get paid and there's going to be revenue share and all that stuff's going to happen. 3 years? I don't know that I – when did all this start? 2 years ago? I always said 5 years when it started. Are we going into our third year of the chaos? I think third year. Yeah. So 2 more years, that seems ambitious. I don't know that we're going to be there in 2 years. It's crazy. It's crazy to see the Georgia coach not like it. Georgia should be at the forefront of this. All right. That'll do it for this Wednesday. Rock those Hawaiians all day long for all those participants out there. I may not be the only one anymore because we got Tommy on board. We're glad to have you, Tommy. Welcome to Team Hawaiian.
One time. Hey, don't get excited about it. It's a one-time deal.
Such a great thing that you've joined the party. We've got Royals baseball tonight here on KFH. That coverage begins at 6:30, regular programming. That'll do it for us. For Max, for Tommy, Brandon in for me tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.